Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Coming to you this Monday morning early. Hopefully you're listening on your drive to work. If not, maybe you're listening on your drive home from work, and we're probably going to depress you even more so. Because if you're coming here for any kind of hope and optimism about the Pelicans, I definitely am not going to have it today. Though I don't think it's as doom and gloom in the end of the world and Alvin Gentry being fired as people think. But with a 126-99 loss at home against the Los Angeles Lakers, a Lakers team that's better than years past, not exactly a ton of reason for optimism with this Pelicans roster, with this Pelicans team. Really, the best news that came out of that game, which we'll talk to in just a moment or two, is frankly that Anthony Davis came back in and wasn't seriously hurt. Otherwise, you don't need to watch a Pelicans game for the rest of the year if that happens at all. So thank you guys for listening. Don't forget you can rate us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. We're coming to you daily. We're the only podcast that's doing anything like that when it comes to this Pelicans team. So give us 5 stars. Don't forget to subscribe, whether that is on iTunes, Audio Boom, whatever app you like to listen to your podcasts on. Personally, I use Stitcher. I use it to listen to Locked On Saints, which is going to be a lot of fun, even though I think they lost in maybe the most heartbreaking and awful style you could imagine with that loss to the Broncos this past Sunday. I also use it to listen to the Locked On NBA podcast with the head of the network, David Locke. And I've recently started listening to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball. I play fantasy basketball. I'm in a league with one of the writers from Bourbon Street Shots, Mason Ginsburg. And my team lost this week, so I need some extra advice there. So I've definitely been listening in, trying to see if there's anyone, any gems or, you know, kind of long shots here that they think are going to work out that I can get to on my team before anyone else snaps them up. But so today in the podcast, we're going to talk about the Lakers game. What went wrong there? Why is this team just absolutely so bad? And should you even really watch games anymore? Of course you should. Then we'll mention the Celtics game tonight. There's some rumors that Alvin Gentry might really be on the hot seat. I'll address those as well. So thank you guys again for listening to Locked On Pelicans. So that Lakers game Saturday night in the Smoothie King Center was just absolute garbage. Just hot garbage, which is kind of these games you expect from the Pelicans. We've seen this in years past. I can think of a couple of Wizards games where they just came out and just absolutely were atrocious. Piss poor is what I've used to describe them before. And Saturday was no different. And if you were in the Smoothie King Center, you should be so mad about this. If you were watching this and spending your Saturday night watching the Pelicans on TV, a performance like that where they absolutely quit in the second half when Anthony Davis went down should piss you off. If you're a season ticket holder, you should be righteously pissed that this is what you spend your money on right now. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you guys. They still have Anthony Davis. It's still worth watching the Pelicans, obviously. But my goodness, do they need to do something. And this team just isn't built well, you know, or a very good team at all. So like I said, 126-99 loss. The Pelicans actually, this is how bad the second half was, actually had the lead at halftime by a point. In the second half, they were outscored 71-46. Anthony Davis was out for part of that, landed kind of awkwardly on his back, was in the locker room from about, I forget the exact time, but he was there for a good chunk of the third quarter. It was about 5 minutes worth of it, and the Pelicans blew the game. It was there, done, simple. Anthony Davis has been known for being injury prone. I want to mention something about that, but man, Pelicans fans need to hope that he just doesn't get injured, because the Lakers went on a 16-4 run and that just blew the game wide open and there was no coming back from there. This Pelicans offense just is really bad right now. Isn't really good. Hopefully getting Holiday back potentially on Friday, is going to be great. And the reason I think we're all happy about about that is not only is it going to help the team, but frankly, it means his wife's doing well. He wasn't going to come back till his wife was okay to potentially take care of their brand new child, Drew Holiday, a girl that they had. So the fact that he's coming back's got to be good about her health, and we've got to be, you know, just be very thankful for that. That, you know, having brain surgery to remove a tumor right after childbirth is gone on well, and I'm happy to hear that overall. But even he coming back isn't going to fix this team. Anthony Davis goes out. Lakers go on a 16-4 run. And this offense is so bad, they just can't climb back from holes like that. Once they get down 5 or 6 points, it's done. If you looked at the box score for the game, you see Anthony Davis did really well. He did his normal Anthony Davis thing. 34 points, 8 minutes in just 34 minutes total. 34 points, 8 rebounds in 34 minutes. No one else helped him. It's that simple. The other starters were Dante Cunningham, 3 points. Omer Asik only played 13 minutes, 2 points. Each one more, the guy who's been the most reliable Pelican, you know, I say when the Pelicans did their thing, it's Davis has a good game. Each one more has a pretty respectable game as well. He started off well in the first half, where in the first quarter, where he scored all 7 total of his points. He finished 3 of 10 shooting. So another good starter, 7 points. Tim Frazier, who's played pretty well this year, though, I think you can start to see he's not a guy you want to be your starting point guard. Maybe a good backup point guard, which is the role he's going to eventually assume. But as a starting point guard, no, he had 4 points, though he did have 10 assists, which was nice to see. I'm going to just read off some more names. Alexi Ajinsa, 6 points. Langston Galloway really kind of helped out a little bit more, but him helping out is 12 points. Solomon Hill, the $50 million man for the Pelicans, 0 points. Let's keep going. Terrence Jones, the guy everyone thought was playing really well in preseason and has done nothing during the regular season, 6. Archie Goodwin, the guy brought in to replace Lance Stephenson that I was saying earlier, wasn't going to be a savior, wasn't going to be a guy here that's really going to help out. He had 7 points. There's no second banana on this team. There's no, you know, Robin to the Batman. And right now they need more than a Robin. That you have Superman in Anthony Davis, and you need to find a Batman or a Wonder Woman or a Flash or a Green Lantern or Cyborg or Aquaman. We'll take Aquaman on this team right now is how bad it's getting. So no one's just helping him out. The only other guy who played particularly well was Buddy Hield. And what I really liked what I saw from him. I couldn't watch this game live. I was in a friend's wedding, but I watched it on Sunday. Buddy Hield scored 18 points, 8 of 13 shooting in 26 minutes. He was only 1 of 4 from 3, though. If I told you he put up 18 points, you'd just think that's all 3-pointers. They ran him at point guard a lot. And I think he's going to maybe make the case to kind of be in the starting lineup. Not as a starting point guard, but potentially when Holiday comes back, you run a Drew Holiday, Etuan Moore, Buddy Hield, someone at the 4 spot. You would assume Solomon Hill, that's more of his natural position, then Anthony Davis. I kind of like this lineup, and the main reason is when Buddy Hield was playing point guard for the Pelicans, he was running the pick and roll really well. He's known as a 3-point shooter. He's not known as that, you know, kind of offensive guy in any other capacity, but he looked comfortable. You know, I think the game's been a little too fast for him as he adjusts from college to the NBA, but it looks like he's kind of getting into the swing of it. And he created out of the pick and roll a lot. They would set the screen for him, and he was kind of trying to drive and probe and looked pretty good for someone who should be a rookie and maybe not necessarily tremendous on the pick and roll. He looked comfortable trying to score out of that. He's not going to be like a huge creator. He's not going to give you a lot of assists. He only had 1 on the night for a game where he was, you know, the main ball handler for a while. But it showed you kind of flashes of his all-around game, and it was really nice to see from him. If he can keep that going forward, he's going to be earning a ton of minutes on this team. No one else can score. You may as well have a guy who could show he can get to the rim a little bit, even if it's Buddy Hield, and that's not quite what you want him to do. But he's going to make the claim to earn a lot of minutes going forward, starting to probably get above that 25 to 30 range and see where they go from there. But this was a really encouraging night for him. You know, one of the big knocks was, can he play at this level? Can he get to the rim? He wasn't quite great at that in college. He did it well tonight. Defensively, he's not too, you know, adept just yet, but he'll get there. He's a rookie. It's growing pains, and it's nice to see the Pelicans are going to play him and limit, you know, and let him make mistakes. But the game isn't just one-sided. It's not just played on offense. And the, you know, the Pelicans gave up 126 on defense. And the worst is just the field goal percentage at the rim for the Lakers. They took 26 shots at the rim in this game. And they shot 61.5% from there. For comparison, the Pelicans took 23 shots at the rim and only shot 52.2% there. The Pelicans' just defense is atrocious still. I wrote about it the other week for BourbonStreetShots.com, and they played well. They're in certain areas, they're doing certain things well, but this isn't a top 10 defense that we saw to start the year. They had one or two good games that kind of buoyed up those numbers. They still have the same problems, perimeter defense, allowing guys to get to the rim. Yeah, again, Omer Oshik's known as a rim protector, but he does that in limited minutes. It's not where he kind of does it the entire time. He can only do so much. He's only one man. Same thing for Anthony Davis. He can defend the rim a little bit and at least alter shots, but when he's getting blitzed constantly and teams are smart enough to try and pull him out of the paint, out of the restricted area so he doesn't even factor in, the Pelicans would need to almost run a zone or something like that to try and keep him down there all the time. And frankly, I don't think these guys are smart enough to do so, and they've given us no reason to think that that might work. So that's going to be a problem, but seriously, 26 attempts at the rim, the Pelicans defended, and they allowed 16 buckets on that for 61.5%. Definitely not, you know, what you want. And that's only when the Pelicans were actually defending it, according to the tracking data on NBA.com. There's times when guys are just getting right to the rim, no problem. The points in the paint that they gave up was 56. It's not big men, you know, beasting and besting Pelicans down there. It's guys like, you know, Julius Randle a little bit, but D'Angelo Russell was getting to the rim. So was Nick Young. It's not perimeter defense in shooting that's the problem for the Pelicans. It's they just don't have stoppers on the perimeter to slow people down. That's what Smallman Hill was brought in for, and he's actually done a good job of it this year. But the problem is he's so bad on offense right now that he's almost unplayable. They signed him for $50, $52 million, and Dante Cunningham's been starting over him. Recently, he finally was dropped. I think they realized maybe you don't want to use him at the three on offense. But, you know, of people who've played this many minutes, he has the fewest points scored, which Graham McQueen, another writer for Bourbon Street Shots, pointed out on Twitter. It's terrible. It's simply, I just, it makes me upset. The roster, you know, you want to buy into this, and then you start to see it play, you know, through 9-10 games here, and it's just bad offensively. Anthony Davis is just doing what he can. I've got a piece coming out tomorrow on Tuesday for you all on BourbonStreetShots.com about how he's grown offensively, but it's just him. There's no one else, and until they can find a way to do it, this team is going to be doing exactly what they're doing. They're going to keep looking exactly as they are. They're not going to keep winning games. You can play well on defense, and they're doing all right at times, but if you can't score points, doesn't matter. You know, for the Pelicans, it's not going to be defense wins championships for sure. So that's going to be a problem going forward. And the thing is, how are they going to get someone in? Free? If you're a free agent in the NBA, do you want to come here? Yeah, maybe you want to play with Anthony Davis and show you can do well and be the guy that gets the best out of him. But frankly, there's better options than this team that has one win right now. They don't have trade assets necessarily. We talked about this a couple weeks ago on the show. They have a future first they could use, but that's not going to net you anyone tremendous. You need multiple picks to try and get someone like that. You know, maybe you can move Tyreek Evans, but it's going to be for long-term money. It's not going to be for anyone that's like a world beater. You're not adding another member to the Justice League here, which solely consists of Anthony Davis trying to do everything himself. So it's just right now the future to me. Unless they strike gold in this offseason during free agency and they get someone that I'm not even expecting, hey, this is what the future looks like right now. And if you're Anthony Davis, you've got to start being upset. With Anthony Davis, I do want to mention this. I think he's really trying hard to shed that injury-prone label. When in preseason, when he hurt his ankle and they said he was going to be doubtful for the season opener, he came back and played in the preseason. He came back a game or two early from what the expectation was. And then on Saturday against the Lakers, he goes out with the back injury, misses some time, but gets right back out there in a game that was already out of hand. He ended up playing most of the fourth quarter, played the rest of the third once he checked back in. It was like 12 or so minutes straight before he checked out finally for the game. And that game was over. He didn't need to go back in and play. Part of it is, you know, the coaching staff trying to maybe coach for their jobs, but I think Anthony Davis wants to shoot down this injury-prone label as well, and it's nice to see him, you know, really taking charge and getting back out there. The problem was, after this happened, he was largely ineffective, and I don't think he seemed really into it. He saw this team was losing. He had just come back from being injured, and now he's on the court, and he's probably thinking, why the hell am I here? And I'm sure all the fans in the arena were thinking, why the hell are we here if they hadn't left yet and done something more fun? It's New Orleans. It's a Saturday night. There's a ton to do. And I think everyone just kind of quit on this team. And that's the first thing, you know, that really jumped out after watching this game. They haven't quit before. In years past, under Monty Williams, they never quit when they were out of playoff contention. Last year, when they were atrocious and everyone was injured, they never quit. This year, they quit. They quit this game. That's a bad sign for a coach. And speaking of bad signs for the coach, obviously there was the tweet from Sam Amico out this weekend. I don't remember the exact time, saying it sounds like, according to GMs and people he's talked to, that seat is hot and it might be more days rather than weeks or months if the Pelicans make a coaching change. And I'm not going to pretend to really know. I get some inside info from the team and people that work with them and are associated with them. But I've got nothing on this one. So makes sense that the Pelicans kind of want to make a move, obviously, but I think that's coming from ownership and it's not coming from GM Del Demps, you know, who just hired this guy a year ago. So I don't know how tied in Amico is to the Pelicans organization. No, in my, you know, experience covering this team, things don't really leak before. So I can't imagine this is Del Demps trying to leak this. I can't imagine this is ownership that would really try and leak this. You know, they're owned by Tom Benson, who owns the Saints, and the Saints are kind of tight-lipped on things like that as well. They don't seem to like the media very much. So it doesn't seem to be, you know, I think this is maybe just assumptions being made by people around the league. And Amico decides to think, yeah, well, the seat's probably hot because the team has one win and they're bad. So he felt comfortable tweeting it out. But I just don't know how much truth, you know, is there to this rumor. You know, I think Del Demps and Alvin Gentry are tied at the hip. Basically, if you fire one, you got to fire the other, and you would assume you would fire Del Demps first and then fire the head coach. But again, why do that mid-season? Then you're asking for a new GM to come in to, you know, an in media res situation here and try and figure this all out on the fly. You may as well wait till the offseason. You know, that way you can just kind of start fresh for next year. I think that's, you know, most likely the scenario if they let everyone go. And it's certainly going to be hard for Del Demps to, you know, especially right now, barring some unforeseen run by the Pelicans, to try and claim he should have another year and another crack at this, even though I think he did do a pretty good offseason of assembling role players. Not, you know, a starting caliber NBA roster, but adding the right type of players on decent enough contracts, not counting Solomon Hill, that could make a team successful in the long term. He's still missing the pieces that makes everything click, which is probably a small forward and a healthy Drew Holiday. But for that rumor, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if the seat's hot and if ownership just gets really upset and they fire, you know, Alvin Gentry mid-season, bringing, you know, just basically elevate someone to be an interim head coach for the time being, seeing if, you know, just taking a new approach might work. So who knows? We'll find out, you know, depending. It doesn't look like it's going to get much better tonight for the Pelicans facing Boston, who has underachieved a little bit this year. But they're still 5-4. A pretty good team. They have strong guards. Avery Bradley's played incredibly well for him this year. You know, but this is going to be a tough matchup for the Pelicans. Don't expect them to win. Boston's very well coached by Brad Stevens, everyone knows. They're about the middle of the road in pace. You know, they score a good bit. They have a pretty good offense. Their defense hasn't been as good as people would have thought this year, but I think that's going to be a matter of time as they try and gel a little bit. The addition of Al Horford makes them even scarier. He's kind of a tough matchup for the Pelicans. I think he's the best big to pair with Anthony Davis. I could get, you know, anyone and put him on this team here, would be Al Horford. He's kind of this do-it-all big. It's going to really hurt the Pelicans defensively, because if you have Davis guarding Horford, and I expect again to see maybe Omer Asik doing that more, but they might, Horford can shoot threes and can get out to the perimeter, and he can pull Davis out there, which just gives more room for Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Isaiah Thomas to drive into the lane, score at the rim, what I was talking about earlier on this podcast of, hey, it's guys driving from the perimeter to the basket scoring, and that's where the points in the paint are coming from, not dominant big play. So expect to see that again. They've got enough guys on defense that can kind of shut down the Pelicans, and frankly, it seems like almost a pickup team might be able to shut down this Pelicans team on offense. Right now, you know, Jay Crowder can play well defensively. Still, Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley's a ball stopper. So this is going to be a tough game for the Pelicans. You know, it is at home. Maybe they can shock the world, get a big upset win here, but it's going to take another monster performance from Anthony Davis, and they need to get some help from the front court in him, whether that's going to be Dante Cunningham, Solomon Hill, or Terrence Jones. One of those guys needs to score 20. And again, history in this season and what we've seen doesn't tell us it's going to happen. So, you know, unfortunately, expect probably a loss tonight. But we'll still break it down tomorrow. We'll say what went well, what didn't. I'm going to talk a little bit about the article I'm going to have up on bourbonstreetshots.com about Anthony Davis's maturity level with his offensive game, and just how the strides he's made this year to score like he is, and what he's doing different from last season. And there is kind of a big change in his game, and it's more of a mental one, which I'll touch on to give you guys a bit of a teaser for tomorrow. So thank you for listening to Locked On Pelicans. I told you I was going to be upset with this team. If you're a fan, you should be furious as well. You have no reason to be happy, you know, and hopefully you still go to the game tonight. I'll be there early covering it for you guys. Make sure you're giving me a follow on Twitter. It's at Nola Jake. I'll be tweeting out during the game. I'll be recording the podcast after for you for tomorrow so we can break down what exactly happened and whether it's going to be a win or a loss. So thank you guys again for listening. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Audioboom, whatever podcast app you use. And please, please, please tell your friends about the podcast. Look, season's still young. There's still going to be a lot to take away from this year. There's going to be a lot of speculation, trade rumors, things like that. We're going to be covering all of that here on Locked On Pelicans, you know, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, coming to you 5 days a week, the only type of thing that's doing that. So let them know about the podcast. Get them listening. And let's get a lot of good Pelicans discussion going forward, because despite the record and despite, you know, the crappy quality of play, there's still a lot to talk about. So I'm not going to quit on you guys like the Pelicans quit on Alvin Gentry the other night. So thank you guys for listening, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow morning.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.